My parents were medical missionaries in Iran. I lived at home, and my mother taught me for the first 11 years. Although I spoke Farsi as a native, I didn't go to school in their system because my folks wanted us to grow up with an American education. But at the age of 11, I went away to boarding school because I was the only mission kid left in the station, and I really needed a classroom experience and other kids to go to school with. I had grown up loving Jesus, praying, having family devotions in a godly home, and I can never remember a day when I didn't love the Lord Jesus and believe that he died for my sins. But while I was in Tehran at boarding school, it was during World War II, and we had an American Army chaplain who had a week of services where he preached the gospel. And it was the first time I had ever heard the gospel preached in English. The gospel was for the Muslims. It was for the natives. And although I know Jesus died for my sins, I had never understood that there was something I had to do about that. It was always the Muslims, the natives, who had to do something about that. And I realized that I could not depend on my parents' walk with God or their relationship to him. But for the first time, I understood that I must open my heart to Jesus Christ and ask him to take over. And so I did that. When I was 15, we came back to the States, and I went to Wheaton Academy. I came, so to speak, kicking and screaming. I had left all my friends, my home, behind. And I determined before I came to the United States that I was going to hate it. And sure enough, I hated it. There wasn't one thing that I liked about being in the States. And before my folks went back at the end of 1 year, I knew something had to change. We went to a conference somewhere, I think, in Ohio. And the only thing I remember is one verse of Scripture. And it's the first time I ever remember God dramatically speaking to me personally through a verse of Scripture that changed the course of my life. But he said to me, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark." And by God's grace, I was able to set Iran and my home and my dislike of the United States behind. And the next year was really happy, and the ensuing years were profitable because God had worked through that verse of Scripture in my life. I went to Wheaton College, and there are three major things that stand out from my time at Wheaton. It was there that I met the Navigators, and though I loved the Lord and had gone to Christian schools and known a lot about you're supposed to have a quiet time and that sort of thing, it was through the Navs that I really got the help to begin to study the Bible for myself, to have a consistent quiet time, and to walk with God. I majored in Bible at Wheaton, but sad to say, that was a lot of head knowledge. And they didn't really show me how to take the Scriptures in for myself. But the Navs at Wheaton did that for me. Another highlight of my time at Wheaton was 6:30 in the morning prayer group where we prayed for missions. And I had the privilege morning by morning on our knees praying with a fellow named Jim Elliott for the lost and the heathen and for missions. All my life, I had planned to be a missionary. It's the only thing I had ever considered doing. To be a missionary nurse, bury my heart, myself, in the heart of Arabia. And it was the most committed, dedicated, sacrificial thing I could do for God. And I wanted to do that. In my senior year at Wheaton, I was accepted in a nursing school. I was going to go the next year. And then I injured my back. The first question I asked the doctor was, "What does this do to my plan to be a nurse next, go to nurse's training next year?" And he said, "Young lady, you better forget it." I lay there in pain for 2 weeks, and I said, "Lord, what now?" And the Lord said to me, "Did you ever ask me if that's what I wanted you to do?" And I said, "But Lord, it's the most committed, sacrificial, dedicated thing I could possibly do for you." And the Lord said, "You know, there are other things that are committed and sacrificial and fully dedicated to me. Trust me." In the meantime, I had met a young man. Started dating him. I'm not quite sure why, because I didn't date at Wheaton. I didn't have time, and men didn't fit into my future. But this fellow was had his heart on the mission field. He was memorizing scripture. And he was persistent. So I kept saying yes, and I kept going out with him. The two greatest things in his favor were a real heart for God. A teachable heart. And a commitment to do anything that was on God's heart. And the other thing was, he was fun to be with. And you'll hear more about that this week. The importance of fun. I was all seriousness, and I still battle with that. But one of the greatest assets he has is just fun. And so we started dating, and as I struggled over this mission field, single missionary nurse, and my relationship with him, and then the Lord took the nursing away, the pieces of the puzzle began to fit together. And as we prayed about our future, the Lord gave to us a verse that says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death." And he has been that. First year we were married, after we left Wheaton, we were in San Diego ministering with the military, and I learned everything I know about housekeeping, entertaining, feeding large crowds from the navigators. And that was the year we were on loan to Campus Crusade for one semester. The following year, Skip traveled and was on loan to Billy Graham, and also to raise money, as he says, to buy a castle in the Rocky Mountains. During that year, I lived for a while with Dawson and Lila Trotman in Los Angeles, and then with Bob and Marion Foster. And it was a really tough year for me, living as a married couple in a household of single women, navigator secretaries, and Skip traveling and deep loneliness. But God taught me through two primary verses that year. One was from Luke 16, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." And I can remember the day I was standing ironing Bob Foster's shirts with a big lump in my throat because I wished I were ironing Skip Gray's shirts. And the Lord said to me, out of context from that passage, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" God used that in my life. The other passage that he used was, across from my bed on the wall was a plaque that Dawson had wood-burned that said, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And God began to show me that I needed to rejoice and pray and believe him that this was his will for me. Later we went to Portland and were on loan to Youth for Christ. And it was a year of some struggles, misunderstandings. But God gave us a really special friendship with a young couple there named Jack and Carol Mayhall, which later led to their coming to be with the team of the Navigators. And God knew why he had sent us there. There followed several years of assignments with the Navs and in Colorado, Dallas, Los Angeles. And I think the thing that characterized my life during those years was a feeling of inadequacy, fear of failure, fear of what I felt were the navigator expectations of me as a navigator wife. And I always end up inadequate. Then the Lord, all these years, we had wanted to go to the mission field, and I especially. And the Lord opened the door for us to go to Costa Rica as missionaries. We went down there, went to language school for a year, loved it. And I was finally back home. I couldn't believe how much Latin America was like Iran. But I discovered that my feelings of inadequacy, my fear of failure, my self-criticism, self-consciousness, all of those things followed me down there. And ultimately it led to a period of about 6 months of deep depression. I can remember the day I said to Skip, "We're all washed up. I've ruined your life. I'm a failure. We're failures as missionaries. We might as well pack up and go home." It's a long story, but the thing that God used in my life was Skip quoting to me from Hudson Taylor, "I have failed. I am failing. I will continue to fail. But Jesus Christ never fails." And as I began to understand the meaning of that, I realized that if I could understand that I can do nothing but fail, if I can admit that I am a failure, then I no longer need to fear failure. It was very liberating for me. And through Skip's prayers and a buddy of ours, as they claimed Romans 15:13 for me, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." God brought me out of that period of deep depression. I've used up my time, but I want to share a couple more things with you. We spent just one term in Costa Rica, came back to the States on what we thought was a furlough, and they asked us to stay in the States and to develop a region. So Skip became the Southeast Regional Director and spent a large portion of his time in the ensuing years traveling. It was a time for me of struggle, and yet I think it was the beginnings of my really learning what it meant to be still and know that I am God. Depending on God for His adequacy, for His sufficiency in my life, and learning to walk by faith, that it's life or death whether I believe God. And the Lord began to teach me through 1 Samuel 30:24 that as His part is that goeth out to the battle, so shall His part be that tarrieth by the stuff. And I realized that I had a choice. I could stay at home feeling sorry for myself, or I could be totally with Skip in my heart, in keeping things going smoothly at home, in maintaining haven for Him to come back to, and in my prayer for him that God would use him in the ministry out there and I would fully be a part of that. And I praise God for that because I have so felt completely a part of his ministry in the following years. And I learned in the years since then that God can make me adequate. He is adequate. And he can remove the fear of failure, the fear of self-condemnation, the attitude of self-condemnation, all of those things that have so gripped me over the years and showed me that I was just wrapped up in self. And that if I would just get my eyes on him, he would do the rest. And so for me, it was a matter of surrender. And Skip's going to talk about that this morning. Believing God and allowing him to use people, circumstances, whatever he wanted in my life to make me what he wanted me to be. My buddy Jim Elliot, I suppose his most famous quote is to say, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And God's teaching me to give up myself. And I want to just share one verse from a little poem with you that the Lord has really used in my life. It's called Submission. The last verse says, "Submission to the will of him who guides me still is surety of his love revealed. My soul shall rise above this world in which I move. I conquer only where I yield." And the chorus says, "Not what I wish to be or where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord will choose for me. 'Tis better far I know. So let him bid me go or stay."